Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever pulled weeds in your yard or in a garden? It is hard work. We have gardens in our yard where we grow plants to help pollinators like butterflies and bees and other insects. But sometimes plants that we don't want begin growing in the gardens. My son and daughter recently helped me pull weeds from our garden. And then it rained, and then the weeds started growing right back. It's hard to keep up as plants follow their God-given instructions to grow and produce more plants. But what exactly are weeds? That's one thing we're exploring today. Here's our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to answer the question, what is a weed? And how do weeds grow if we don't plant them? We will learn what is an invasive plant and how can we keep our days free of weeds. This lesson is inspired by a chapter in my book, Rooted in Wonder, Nurturing Your Family's Faith Through God's Creation. Today, we are going to discover what native and invasive plants are. Parents and caregivers, in my book, Rooted in Wonder, I share a powerful analogy between invasive plants that rob an ecosystem of life and invasive pastimes that threaten our kids' childhoods. You see, just as it's hard to control weeds and plants that don't belong, it's a challenge to guard our children's days, hearts, and minds from activities that can rob them of God's abundant life. But there is good news. Just as we can restore an ecosystem's health, we can take back the landscape of childhood by introducing healthy pastimes. Click the link in the show notes to pick up a copy of my book, Rooted in Wonder, Nurturing Your Family's Faith Through God's Creation. All right, it's time for our trivia question. Which part of the weed do you need to remove so that it doesn't grow back again? A, the flowers, B, the leaves, C, the roots, or D, the stem? Again, which part of the weed do you need to remove so that it doesn't grow back again? A, the flowers, B, the leaves, C, the roots, or D, the stem? We will find out at the end of today's lesson. Nat Theo Club members, make sure to click over after this lesson to our bonus video. I'm going to take you on a tour through my pollinator garden, and I will show you some of the special plants and creatures in it, as well as share how you can easily plant a pollinator garden yourself. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. Listeners, if you would like access to our weekly bonus videos, lesson activity guides, nature devotions, and nature and Bible scavenger hunts, you can find all of that at the link in our show notes. If you have ever had the task of pulling weeds, you might know that it's a challenge sometimes to know what plants are weeds to be pulled and what plants are supposed to be there and left in the ground. Recently, when my kids were helping me weed our garden, I carefully showed them what plants were weeds and needed to be pulled and what plants were not weeds. This is especially hard before our flowers have budded or bloomed, when the plants are still only leaves, because you have to learn how to see the differences in the leaves. But what exactly makes a weed a weed? A very simple definition of a weed is a plant that is growing where it is not wanted. So a weed could even be a beautiful flowering plant that is simply not wanted where it is growing. Maybe it's growing in the middle of a busy pathway and blocking people from walking by. That beautiful plant might be considered a weed. In fact, some of the weeds that I pull in my garden, they are pretty plants and they make flowers, but they grow quickly and they hog all the nutrients and soil and space in the garden, making it harder for the plants that I planted to grow. So I pick those weeds to help my other plants grow better. When it comes to weeds, one of our listeners asked this great question.
Hi, my name is Annabeth, and I'm 7 years old, and I live in Texas, and I want to know, how do weeds grow if you don't plant them?
That is a wonderful question, Annabeth. If we don't want weeds, say in a garden, and we don't plant them, how do they grow? One thing that plants are very good at is growing. And this is by God's design that He created on the third day. Listen to Genesis 1, 11 to 13. Then God said, "Let the earth produce plants, some to make grain for seeds, and others to make fruits with seeds in them. Every seed will produce more of its own kind of plant." And it happened. The earth produced plants with grain for seeds, and trees that made fruits with seeds in them. Each seed grew its own kind of plant. God saw that all of this was good. Evening passed and morning came. This was the third day. God designed plants to be very good at growing so that the earth can be full of beauty, along with wonderful smells and tasty foods. This is a huge way that God provides the food that we need to eat and stay healthy and strong. You see, God was thinking of you when He made this great design of plants to grow more plants. But how does a plant grow more plants if a farmer or a gardener or you do not stick a seed in the soil and water it? How do plants grow on their own? Plants spread and grow more plants through a process called seed dispersal. Seed dispersal means how seeds move away from the parent plant to grow in a new place. Of course, we know that plants can't walk, so they need a little help traveling. Seeds can travel or be dispersed in several different ways. The first way is by wind, like dandelion seeds floating in the air. Or have you ever seen a seed pod from a maple tree? When I was a child, we called these helicopters because they spin as they fall from the maple tree and look like helicopter blades. The air and the wind catch the seed pods and carry it further from the tree. Seeds can also be dispersed or moved by animals, like when seeds stick to fur or get eaten and then dropped out later. Seeds can also be dispersed by people, like when we go out hiking, and a seed might get caught on our shoes or clothes and then later fall off somewhere else. Seed dispersal helps plants grow in new places, so they don't all crowd out one spot. Once a seed is dispersed or moved, it might not do anything. It might just sit on the ground, or it might be eaten by a creature, or it might grow. If it falls in a place that has good growing conditions, like healthy soil and the right amount of sunshine and water, then that seed can turn into a new plant. I recently got to see this in my garden. As I was pulling weeds out, I noticed a few new plants that I had not planted. These were the same types of plants that I purposely planted a few years ago. When I put in our garden, a couple of the plants I planted were yarrow and blue flax. Well, this spring, I have new yarrow and blue flax plants that I did not add to the garden. The seeds from the original plants had spread, even if only a few feet or so, and planted new plants, which is exactly what I had hoped would happen. It's very cool seeing God's design at work. So God designed seeds to travel and plant new plants, and this is how weeds also plant themselves. But remember, God's good creation is cursed by sin. So things don't always work the way that God designed them to. We see this in the Bible. Right after Adam and Eve, the first people, chose to disobey and sin against God, one of the very first consequences is that plants began growing differently and where they should not be. Listen to Genesis 3:18. Then God said to the man, "You listened to what your wife said, and you ate fruit from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat. So I will put a curse on the ground, and you will have to work very hard for your food. In pain you will eat its food all the days of your life, and the ground will produce thorns and weeds for you, and you will eat the plants of the field." Weeds are a constant reminder of sin's curse. But think about this. As we remove weeds to help plants and gardens grow better, we are taking part in restoring God's creation. One day, God will make everything new. He will restore his creation, and we can look forward to that new, wild, and wonderful world while we work hard to restore and protect his creation right now. One way we can do that is by helping the right kinds of plants grow where God designed them to live best. You see, God created certain plants to live well in certain areas. Think about this. Would you expect to find a big, wavy palm tree on the top of a snowy mountain? Or how about a big desert cactus in a jungle or rainforest? Nope. One way God displays his creativity in nature is through the designs of unique and special ecosystems. An ecosystem is an area where plants, creatures, and even tiny things like bacteria all live and work together. Think of it like a wild neighborhood where the neighbors are all living things, living near each other and helping each other. Some unique ecosystems include ocean shores, or way up high on the tundra in the mountains, or forests, swamps, deserts, and jungles. Now, this brings up a great question from one of our listeners.
Hello, my name is Ingrid Keeley, and I would like to know a lot right now, but right now my question is, how many species of plants are there in the world, and is there any place where certain types of plants don't grow other than orchids? Because I know they don't grow on Antarctica. Bye!
That is a wonderful question, Ingrid, and you're right. As we learned on Lesson 66, orchids do not grow in Antarctica. But do any plants grow there? Yes, God designed some plants to even grow in the harsh ecosystems such as those in Antarctica. Plants grow in basically every area of Earth. Now, there might not be as many plants or as many varieties of plants in harsh or hard ecosystems, but God has filled his world with beauty by making plants grow in every environment. Scientists currently believe that there are between 380,000 and 400,000 different types of plants. That is a lot of creative designs. Of course, that might seem like a lot of plants, because it is, but we are really only seeing a small glimpse of God's creativity. There are still a lot of plants that are yet to be discovered, and there are many plants that have sadly gone extinct because of sin's curse. One day, we will get to see God's full creativity on display when he restores his creation, including plants. So God created plants to live in all kinds of ecosystems, and he designed them to work well together. But as we have seen, the earth is cursed by sin, and things don't always work the way that God intended them to. Let's look at two specific categories of plants we can find in an ecosystem: native plants and invasive plants. A native plant is a plant that belongs in the area or ecosystem where it is growing. It helps the ecosystem and the other plants and creatures in that area. It has an important job there. It grows well in that area's weather and temperatures. An invasive plant, on the other hand, is quite the opposite. It does not belong where it's growing. It might look pretty, but it can hog resources and even harm the ecosystem it is in. Let's look closer at that word invasive. The word invasive means something that moves into a new place where it doesn't belong and starts taking over. Do you remember we learned that an ecosystem is kind of like a neighborhood? Well, what if a new neighbor moved in and began bullying or even stealing from other neighbors? That is not good, and that's kind of what invasive plants do. Many times, invasive plants begin growing in an area after they are brought over from distant lands. People might see a plant in another part of the world and think, wow, that's really pretty, or this is useful, and bring it back to their own country to plant it. So when it comes to weeds, we can think of a weed as any plant that is growing where it is not wanted. We can also think of a weed as an invasive plant that is growing in an area that God never designed it to grow in. It does not belong there, and it does not help the ecosystem. It might even harm the plants or creatures that do belong there. Listener, it's good to plant and protect native plants, ones that belong in an area and help restore and showcase God's creation as He meant it to be. Did you know that weeds don't only grow in gardens, yards, and sidewalk cracks, but they can also grow in our days? Of course, I'm not talking about dandelions or thistles or other plants that people might view as weeds. Instead, I'm talking about activities. Some activities can be rather weedy. Remember that a weed can be a plant growing where it's not wanted, or an invasive plant that can harm an ecosystem. Think about it this way. What activities do you enjoy that are good for you? Maybe it's reading a book, making art, exploring outside and studying nature, reading the Bible, singing or making music, cooking or baking, playing a board game or doing a puzzle, and spending time with friends who encourage you. These activities are like native plants, the plants that belong. These activities make your childhood better. They are healthy and inspiring, and they bring joy and creativity. Now think about activities that might not be good for you. Maybe that is watching too much television or playing too many video games. Maybe it's reading or listening to things that are not good for you. Maybe it's eating too much food or snacks that don't help your body, or spending time with people that are unkind or discouraging. These activities are like invasive plants. Remember that the word invasive means something that moves into a new place where it doesn't belong and starts taking over. These invasive activities can easily take over your time. They can be unhealthy, and they can crowd out or take the place of healthier activities. Let me be clear. Some television programs or video games, they might not be bad for you, just like some invasive plants don't actually cause harm. But remember that an invasive plant can easily take over an ecosystem. The same is true with these invasive activities. Like an invasive plant, too much television or video games quickly takes over and can do some harm, simply because it leaves no room for better, healthier activities that God designed us to enjoy. Can you think right now of one activity that you might need to weed out from your days? If it's harmful, it needs to be weeded out completely. Psalm 101:3 says, "I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless." Other Bible translations translate this verse to say, "I will not set before my eyes anything that is wicked." We need to guard our days and steer clear from activities that are worthless or wicked. But what if it's not something worthless or wicked? Maybe it's just taking too much of your time and keeping you from better activities. Maybe it just needs to be cut back so that better things can grow in your day. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, "We are allowed to do all things, but not all things are good for us to do." We are allowed to do all things, but not all things help others grow stronger. Listener, I know you might hear this verse and think, I'm not allowed to do all things. Your parent or caregiver has likely given you rules and guidelines to keep you safe and well. But as you grow older, you will have the opportunity to make more choices. And God gives us a lot of freedom in our lives. This verse reminds us to use that freedom well and choose things that are good for us and help others. That is a great test for when you're deciding whether to do an activity. You can ask the question inspired by 1 Corinthians 10:23, is this activity good for me and does it help others? There is a verse that does a great job of teaching us to weed out our days and enjoy healthy activities. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, "So be very careful how you live. Do not live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. Use every chance you have for doing good." Listeners, let's be great gardeners of our days. Let's weed out anything worthless or wicked and plant healthy activities, habits, and hobbies that are good for us and help others. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. This listener question is made possible by the Rooted and Flourish Family Bible Curriculum by Treehouse Schoolhouse. Rooted and Flourish are a delightful journey through biblical truth. This is an 18-week family Bible curriculum focusing on themes of identity, devotion, wisdom, mission, virtue, and love. This easy open-and-go Bible curriculum invites your family into everything lovely, true, and beautiful. Each week, dive into engaging activities including scripture readings, nature study, art and poetry exploration, hymns, prayer prompts, meaningful family discussions, and hands-on activities and notebooking. Try a free week of this enriching curriculum. Plus, receive 10% off a digital or hard copy of Rooted or Flourish using the coupon code NATTHEO10. Visit treehouseschoolhouse.com or the link in our show notes and use the coupon code NATTHEO10 to save 10%. Here is today's listener question.
Hi, my name is Addie Weir, and I'm from New York State. I'm 10 years old, and I'd like to know, how do plants get carbon dioxide and make oxygen, and what do they use the carbon dioxide for? Thank you. I love your podcasts. Bye.
That is a great question, Addie. How do plants get carbon dioxide and make oxygen, and what do they use the carbon dioxide for? Plants have tiny little holes on their leaves called stomata. These holes are like teeny mouths that take in carbon dioxide from the air. Carbon dioxide is a gas that we breathe out from our bodies. The plants use the carbon dioxide, along with sunlight and water from the ground, to make their food. This special job is called photosynthesis. It's like the plant's way of cooking lunch using the sunshine. And guess what? When they are making food, they let out oxygen, the clean air that we breathe. So plants breathe in carbon dioxide through those tiny holes on their leaves, and then they use the sunshine to make food, and they breathe out oxygen, which we need to breathe. God designed plants to be incredible helpers. Through this process, the plant gets what it needs, and we get clean, fresh air to breathe. In fact, without plants, we could not breathe on Earth. When God created plants, He was thinking about you and all the clean air that you would need. Thanks for your great question, Addie. Keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure to click over after this lesson to our bonus video, where you will take a tour through my family's native pollinator garden and meet some of the creatures and plants in it, as well as learn how you can easily plant your own native plant garden. You can find the link to that bonus video in our show notes or your Nat Theo Club dashboard. It's time to answer our trivia question. Which part of the weed do you need to remove so that it doesn't grow back? A, the flowers, B, the leaves, C, the roots, or D, the stem? The answer is C, the roots. Remember, God designed plants to be very good at growing. If you don't pull out the roots, then the weed can grow right back. Now it's your turn to explore. Learn about a native plant or a plant that belongs in your area and is good for other plants and creatures. Then learn about an invasive plant or a plant that does not belong in your area and what kind of harm it can do to the ecosystem. Maybe consider planting some of the native plant in your yard. Remember to pull out any weeds around it as it grows, so that it has plenty of space and nutrients to grow well and thrive. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on weeds, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world.
We are all looking for